M. McDole is pastor of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Duncan, Oklahoma. It's a real joy to have him as our speaker at this time. Welcome again, my brother.
Thank you, Paul. Well, I would like to add my sincere thanks to the pastor and his dear wife and to the folks at this church for inviting us, for putting up with us, and for treating us so royally, both in terms of accommodation and in food. I probably will have some words from my wife when I go home today. What happened to you? You put on the pounds. But it has been good. It has been a blessing to be here. My little booklet, there are still a few copies out there on the table, and I'm going to be in a good frame of mind today. If you want to take one of those booklets without paying any money, you can take one of those booklets. The only request I make, read it. Yes. And if you don't like it, write me a letter telling me what's wrong with it. Yes. I'll throw it in the fire. But anyhow, seriously, there are a few out there. If you want to take one, I would ask that you read it. This has been a blessing to hear the preaching of the Word of God. It's good to be together, to pray together, to fellowship together. And I hope that by God's grace, this will be a good conclusion to this part of the conference. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. And I will give you some observations in those verses. I will read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter at verse 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ending at verse number 17. The Apostle Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy, a young man going into the ministry. And incidentally, let me interject something here. I'm very concerned about where are the young men. Now, I don't want to pick on my brethren. I don't want to upset them or offend them. But the average age in this pulpit these few days is somewhere between 75 and 82. The average age. So we need young people. Pray for them, please. Pray that God will raise up in His church a young man who love the truth. Not who want to show, but who love the truth and who want to preach that truth. But thank you, men, for the blessing of your preaching, and may God give you grace to continue for a long time to come. The Apostle Paul, this great preacher of grace, is writing to this young man and has had many things to say to him. At the beginning of this chapter, he writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And without, and goes on to give a list of things, of what people are doing today. And I believe we can identify with these scriptures. And I could have preached the whole chapter, but I don't have a couple of days. I want to start, however, at verse number 10 and make a number of observations as we go through some of these verses. The first thing I want us to see is this, Paul's testimony. I see it this in verses 10 and 11. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You don't need to read very far in the life of the Apostle Paul to see what has happened to him because of his allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, the great servant of God, the great apostle of God, the man who saw himself as a slave under Christ, one who willingly and gladly served his Savior. He says to them, you know something about me. But notice the first thing he mentions is doctrine. In many of our churches today, doctrine is not that important. I've had people say to me, brother, we don't preach doctrine because it divides. It's supposed to. It's supposed to. We have to have something to believe. We must look at the scriptures for what we believe. And today that's not always happening. So Paul rejoices in the doctrines that he's been taught by the Lord. He is a man under authority to preach. The word doctrine simply means teaching. He is to teach them the Word of God. How important it is that our young people are taught the Word of God. When I was growing up as a Presbyterian, I had the catechism on Sundays. Now, there are good things about catechisms, and there are bad things about catechisms. But if they preach the truth, it's a good way of instructing our young people. We go to school. I'm not a math expert. Don't ask me to help you with math. Maybe with history, but not with math. But do you know in math you have to go over things and learn them? I got as far as trigonometry. Everything over that is way over my head. But there are things required. We need to teach. We need to teach the Word of God. And that's, as we've already heard, one of the reasons for having a conference like this. So he says, you know what I have taught. And he brings doctrine and life together here. He doesn't just say, I've taught certain things, I've been a teacher. But he says, my manner of life, brother, sister, what you profess with your mouth must be part and parcel of who you are. You are not an armchair theologian. Preachers, we have to practice what we preach. It's got to be a part of our lives. And so here is Paul telling us, you've known my doctrine, the doctrines I teach, the doctrines I believe. And you've heard some of these already in this conference. My manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. All these things were part and parcel of who the apostle was. His manner of life, how he lived. He was a man who said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. To live as Christ means I live under the direction of my Savior. He is my direction for all things. Not just for my spiritual life, but for my physical life as well. And if I had the time, I'd go through and give you some detail on each of these things. But we don't have that time. But I want you to look. Purpose. Faith. Paul was a man of faith. Well, somehow, Brother McDowell, God will look at me and say, I wasn't such a bad guy after all, and he's going to accept me into heaven. No. You've got to know the faith of the gospel. As we've heard already, we need to be in Christ Jesus as far as our salvation is concerned. Salvation is to be found only in Jesus Christ, as we're reminded in the book of Acts, and I think it's chapter 4. So he says, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, patience. We heard a little bit about patience too. We need to be a patient people, long-suffering with people, charity, loving. Now, I've heard it said that sometimes you Calvinists are not loving. Oh, I think we are. We're very loving. That's why we preach the gospel to people, the true gospel to people. It's because we love them that we want them to know the truth. We don't want them to know religion. We want them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Now I want to get to his persecutions. Paul, because he sought to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, went through much persecution. Again and again, this man of God was taken through the mill, as it were. Let me look at a few of the things that we read concerning this dear brother Paul. Let me turn you to Luke chapter 1. There are just a few scriptures that I would like to talk about in Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, I've got some scriptures written down here. Let me do it this way. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, we read this. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The things spoken by Paul were the things concerning Jesus Christ. And for that reason, he was persecuted. For that reason, he was beaten. For that reason, he was put in prison. And today, all over the world, there are people suffering for no other reason than the fact that they have given their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives us this great example of how he suffered for the gospel's sake. Verse 50 of the same chapter in Acts says, But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. We have no time for you Christians. There's no room in this land of ours for you Christians. And incidentally, there are people in this country who think and feel exactly the same way as far as Christianity is concerned. I have said this many times. My wife and I came to this country in 1970, and the country I'm living in today is not the same country I came to those years ago. May God have mercy upon us. Now, I'm going to interject this, and I'll face the consequences. You make sure you go out and vote on Tuesday. And vote according to the Word of God. Well, that's my political statement over for today. Anyhow, the persecutions I endured, and I could read others, but we don't have the time. At Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions! I'm impressed by this. I endured. It was not easy. He could have run away, but he didn't. He stayed the course. Because, you see, greater was the one that was in him than the one that was in the world. Paul was a man dedicated totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who was willing to do whatever it took, as it were, because of Christ. But you'll notice what he says here at the end of verse 11, But out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, God doesn't always take away the thing that is dealing with us, but he helps us to get through it. He doesn't always take the problem of having off my shoulders, but he gives me the grace to endure. And this man was a man of endurance. This man was a man who was ready to do what was necessary as he served his master. But I want to move on. First of all, I talked to you about Paul's testimony, but I want to go to another point. The cost of being in Christ. The cost of being in Christ. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We have been blessed in these United States of America. We have been again and again delivered because we were started under the banner of Christ. Was every founding father a believer? No. But I would say to you that every founding father recognized there was an authority above us, and that authority was the God of heaven. Our whole political system was founded on the fact that God spoke, that God had a truth That was the word of the living God. And in Paul's day, it was a challenge to be a Christian. It was a challenge to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you, and I'll have you look at them. First of all, in Matthew chapter 16, these scriptures will relate to what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 16, if you would look that chapter up, and I believe it's verse number 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I remember when I worked in the shipyard, there was a man in the department I was working in at that particular time who wore a cross around his neck. And a lot of people do it today. And I was speaking to a Christian friend, and it had been explained to him. And so we were talking about it. And the man said, you know, he said he wears that cross because he read the scriptures which talked about him taking up his cross. And that was what he thought it meant. Folks, it means a lot more than that. It means to bear with the Christ of the cross, to give your allegiance to the Christ of the cross, to serve the Christ of the cross. Deny yourself. That means not me first. Don't worry about my self-esteem, whatever that is. Self-importance, I think, would be a better word. Go after Christ. Serve Christ. And so he says, that's what he's doing. He's serving Christ. We get the same message in a couple more scriptures. I will have you turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter number 3, we get another message that is similar to this. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 3 and verse 3. Let me read from verse number 2. He's talking here about sending Timothy in verse 2. Sent Timotheus, our brother, a minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Christian, we should not be shocked, we should not be surprised, if indeed we have to suffer affliction. It's to be expected in a sense. And the more things go on in this country, I believe we Christians are going to find that there will be more and more affliction, more persecution. There's another scripture that I would read to you, and that is in 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Peter's counsel is this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice! Well, I'm starving, how can I rejoice? I'm being beaten, how can I rejoice? I've been put in prison illegally, how can I rejoice? But we're told to rejoice. You remember when Paul was in prison, he wasn't sending for the ACLU. He was praying. And incidentally, that worked. He was praying. The believers in the first century, you know, we can learn a lot from those believers in the first century. Paul, therefore, is encouraging us. He's encouraging us. We may be called upon to suffer. God may put us through some suffering, and it's not to give us a hard time. It is to test us. It is to try us, to test our faith. Now then, I must move on. In verses 13 and 14, well, we'll stay at verse number 13. I want us to see this. Evil will intensify. Evil will intensify. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at the world in which we live today. There is sin all around us. That which is good has become bad, and that which is bad has become good. Things have been turned upside down in our world today. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 16, I believe it is. Here's the counsel of Paul. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Ungodliness around us. In doctrine, in practice, look at the things that are being talked about today in our nation. Who would have thought that such things would be on the open board, as it were, for all to see and for all to hear? There's evil all around us. Everywhere we turn, there's evil. And the problem is that some who ought to know better are succumbing to the evil. There's evil in religion. There's evil in politics. There's evil in education. There's evil in industry. There's evil all around us. What is evil? It is that which is contrary to God. You know, we really are at a stage where we're going to have to make a decision. We're either going to go with God or against God. There's nothing in between. There's no middle road. There's no middle road. I used to meet some men, and some of my teachers in college, some were outright liberal, and there were some, we called them, they were walking on the fence. If they fell off the fence, they might fall on our side. But there's no such thing. You're either for God or you're against God. He that is not for me is against me. Folks, we cannot walk a middle path. The evil will eat us up. There is evil in the world in which we live. We have seducers, wizards, imposters, as one would put it. Stay in Timothy and go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know where I'm going there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 in the first verse. Listen to what it says to us. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. What is that first one I said? Departing from the faith. Well, brother, we're not going against it. We just want to experiment a little bit. We have to love these people. We have to make accommodation for them. No, we don't. We have to preach the gospel to them. And the gospel doesn't change from age to age. The gospel doesn't change from culture to culture. It's the same. What Paul preached is what we're to preach today. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And our society needs it probably more than ever. Well, I can't say that because Joe will be offended or Jimmy will be upset. We have to preach it because souls are dependent on it. It's the only way, and you've heard that many times, it's the only way there's going to be any hope from sin and from hell. A couple of times I heard that even going worse than that, the flames of hell. People don't believe that anymore. There's no hell. God's a God of love. Yes, He is. But He's a God of justice as well. He cannot look down on sin and ignore it. He wouldn't be just. There are seducers all around us, folks. And you know what the sad thing is? They're in our churches. Seducers. And the words here that impress me are worse and worse. Worse and worse. We can't say anything, but that's exactly what is happening around us. Deceiving and being deceived. Oh dear, the clock's moving on. I must move on. You can work out other things from this, but the fourth thing I want us to think about is in the next verse or two. I want us to talk about taking a stand. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue what you've been taught. Somebody said today in one of the messages, it's been said in various ways all week, the truth is in the Scriptures. This book has everything man needs to know. We're not looking for a lost Bible. We're not looking for lost books. I was teaching an extension class at a university in California. And do you know what they asked me to teach? The Gnostic Gospels. Boy, did I have fun. But there's all sorts of stuff out there. books written. Well, Jesus went off to this country or to that country and did this and did that. No, what we know about the Lord Jesus and what we need to know about the Lord Jesus is all in this book. And somebody said if all the books were written about Jesus, there would be no place to hold them all. Folks, this book is God's revelation. Not part of God's revelation. Not a half of God's revelation. This is God's revelation for us. There is nothing we need to know that is not in this book. And I'll say more about that in a little while. But we need to take a stand, Christian. This, if ever there was a day for Christians to take a stand, I believe it is now. Look at chapter 1 and verse 13. Chapter 1 and verse 13. Here is Paul's counsel. Hold fast the form of sound words. That has to do with the word of God, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Stick your heels in. Stand your ground. Do not give up. Do not weaken. I think sometimes we get weary of the battering. People are battering. McDowell, how can you believe that stuff? I think I've told you this before, so bear with me while I repeat it. I was sitting under a professor at the University of Nottingham, and he didn't believe a miracle of the Bible, not one. And I heard somebody talk about Moses today, so I'll use this story, and some of you have heard it before. He was teaching us about Moses and the burning bush. And he started off by saying, now, you fellows, some of you are going to be graduating soon. And he said, you know this story of Moses in the burning bush? That's not how it happened. You see, Moses was a primitive man. He didn't know what we know. He didn't have his degree from Nottingham University. Moses had more intelligence than probably all of them put together. But here's what happened now. Here's the mindset. Moses came around the mountain and he's looking at this bush. And it looks to him that it's actually on fire. So Moses just writes down the bush was burning. But the branches weren't being burned off it. Well, you know what really happened? The way the sun was shining on the bush, it looked to primitive Moses that it was on fire. So he just wrote down what he thought was happening. And they do that with every miracle. And I looked at him. He and I, we had our differences. But we got on all right together, but we would argue with each other all the time. And I always respected my professors, but if I had a question, I wasn't afraid to ask it. And one day we were leaving, he had challenged me on something else, and we were leaving, and he had given me a hard time all class, and we were walking out, and he put his hand over my shoulder, and he said, McDowell, you're going to be graduating this year, you need to think for yourself. And I just turned to him and I said, well, Dr. Deans, it's because I was thinking for myself that I wrote what I wrote. He didn't like it. But there it is. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject here. We must take a stand. We are living in a day when it is necessary for us to stand up and be counted, whatever that means. We know what it means. We're to stand up. We're to stand up firmly. And 1 Timothy 4... And, no, that's not the one I'm looking for. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Oh, wait a minute. 1 Peter 2. I've got so many scriptures. I'm trying to rush through. And I'm forgetting. 1 Peter 2:2. That's the one scripture I want you to look at right now. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Where is that word to be found? It's to be found in the scriptures. We have already been instructed throughout this conference how important the Bible is. We need to know it for doctrine. We need to know it for how we're to live. We need to know it for all our instruction in things scriptural, in things spiritual. We must be ready to stand up. And I'm emphasizing this because I look out in the world today. Watch the TV. You know, I flip the TV on to try and get something from the televangelists. Boy, that's a barren land. Really. But what an opportunity in front of millions of people just to preach Christ. But of course, they probably wouldn't be on the next week. There's the problem. Anyhow, we are to take a stand. That is what we're called to do. Now, he says in verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I praise God that I started going to church early. Now, my father died when I was 7. My mother and grandmother brought up my younger brother and myself. They never went to church, but when I was 8 years of age, I joined a youth organization. And from that day, I went to church every Sunday. And I'm so glad for that, because in those early years, I learned the Word of God. I didn't understand it, but I could quote verses. I had to learn verses. He says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I think of my grandchildren, and I wish they could know the Scriptures. I think there are many people who love the Lord who want to see their children and their grandchildren grow up in Christ Jesus. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wisdom is in the Scriptures, my friends. More wisdom than all the PhDs in the world could put together in years are in the Word of God. The Word of God speaks clearly. The Word of God speaks authoritatively. And he goes on to say, concerning salvation. Concerning salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, there is no other way for people to be saved but through the message of Christ and Him crucified. Now bear with me, because I'm coming to the part where I may let loose. My fifth, and I've just given you a few outlines for the other things. My fifth point is this. There is ultimate truth. There is ultimate truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'm going to stop there. There are some people who would like to change this for us. Now you look at your King James Bible and listen to what I'm saying. All inspired Scripture is given by inspiration. Do you see the subtle difference? Who decides what is inspired and what's not inspired? The experts, of course. So they start to pick and choose. I'm going to ask you to do something. And we've talked about it during this conference and conversation. Will you turn to Mark chapter 16 for a moment? Mark chapter 16. And the preachers here know what I'm going to do. I'm sure you do. Be shocked if you don't. Mark chapter 16. How many verses are in it? 20, right? Well, when I was going to college, I learned something. There's really only 8 verses in that chapter. Oh, but Brother McDowell, no, there's not. There's more. Some stop at 8 and some start at 9. Stop at 9. People have decided these parts don't belong. They were not in the original manuscripts. How do they know they weren't there? They weren't there. Everything that's in Mark chapter 16 is God's revelation. I remember in seminary, since I talked about it so much, they made me write a paper on it. But I'm still convinced, as I was then. And what they've done is, they've taken the Word of God, and on every page in some of these new translations, you go to the bottom of the page. This part was added later. This part was taken out. Is it any wonder our young people are confused? We must take a stand on the authority and finality and inspiration of Scripture. If we don't do that, we might as well give up. So listen to what it says. All Scripture, all Scripture is inspired from Genesis to Revelation. Do you understand it all? I don't. But it's God's revelation. All Scripture, every part of it, is given by inspiration of God. John did not sit down one day and say to himself, you know something? I think I'm going to write a story so that McDowell can preach about the Bible in 2018. John wrote what the Spirit of God wanted him to write. I believe in verbal inspiration. The words that you've heard the story. You know, they tell us, well, what actually happened, McDowell? They did give information to the minds of the writers. But you know, between the mind and the writing, things can happen. We know the thoughts were okay, but you don't know anything about the thoughts unless they're written down.
Right.
I believe it's, we shouldn't be arguing with people about the Bible. Just present it. This is God's truth. We either believe it or we don't. There's nothing in between again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word is given by inspiration of God. If you don't accept that, then you're free to do whatever you want. And I'm sorry to say that even some professed evangelical scholars have joined the club. But then, I'm not a scholar. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've settled that part, I hope. And is profitable. That's why it's for. That's why we're given it. It is profitable. And you'll notice the very first thing here for doctrine. A church should be a place where biblical doctrine is taught. A church, as its membership is concerned, should know its doctrine. Why do you have that little church called Sovereign Grace Baptist Church? Well, if you haven't, I'll explain it to you. Doctrine is vital. A church is not a social club. A church is not a legal aid society. A church is not a charity and handing out. Now, incidentally, there's nothing wrong with those things. But it is not the church's main ministry. And I'll tell you something else. I love the music here. It's wonderful. But you see, it's part of the whole. Music is not a church. But when we're singing the praises of God, there's nothing to beat it. For doctrine. For reproof. For correction. If my doctrine is not biblical, it's wrong. And I need to be instructed correctly. And I regret to say to you, while I had some good teachers, when I was studying theology, I had some teachers who were leading me astray. And I'll tell you what kept me going, and I've said this before, what kept me going was the fact that I had been brought up in a Bible-believing background, and when I got to college, every Saturday night, and I rejoice in this, every Saturday night there was a group of young people in my home church, met every Saturday night to pray for Jim McDowell. And I rejoice in that. For instruction. One of the reasons we come to church is to be instructed in the Word of God. And how could you be instructed if you're not under the Word of God? I believe Christians should be in the assembly of God's people when those who are called of God are ministering the Word. For instruction, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now that doesn't mean we're free from sin. Doesn't mean that you don't do anything wrong anymore. It means complete. Entire. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Praise God for His truth. Praise God for His Word. I'll read one more scripture. And then I'll finish. And you know where I'm going. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 21. I must read that to you. Since I've been on this Word of God. In verses 20 and 21 of 2 Peter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Please note that. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What you have in front of you is what the Holy Ghost gave the man. And folks, we are called upon to believe the ultimate truth of God's revelation. And that is the ultimate truth we're to preach to our generation. That's the ultimate truth we're to preach to our culture. That's the ultimate truth we have to preach to our young people. Our young people are lost. Our young people are in a desert and they don't know where to turn. They don't know the Word of God and there's nobody out there teaching it. We need to do it as God enables us. Folks, don't ever underestimate or play down or compromise on the revelation of God's truth in Scripture. Because if you do, you're playing with fire. May God be pleased to bless His Word to our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father,